Tools. Get the job done right with Irwin Tools. Available at Bunnings.
Hey everyone, it's Luke, Dobbo and Margo. This afternoon on The Catch-Up, you're going to find out who the next coach of the Brisbane Broncos will be. Dobbo has that exclusive for us. Also, there's a doctor in town and he does vasectomies. He's got the most ironic name you've ever heard of. You'll find out what that is. And Margo's going off her chops about you lunatics in our society who are so pumped up about these Coles minis. She'll go off ahead about that and talk to some people to try and get some answers. You'll find those answers if you listen to this. It's The Catch-Up and it's starting right now. Should have seen what happened to me today. I went up to Greenslopes Hospital in Brisbane because my old man's in there. He's down from Mission Beach. He had to go and have a just a procedure at the hospital. So
is he okay?
Yeah, he's all right. Yeah. But anyway, as I'm driving to the hospital, I guess as you start to get on the periphery of the hospital, there's all these medical sort of businesses that start popping up near the hospital. And I've never been out there before. So I look and there's like the most perfectly named vasectomy doctor that I've ever seen. So much so that I took a photo of it. I've got it up. We'll whack it up on our Instagram. I'll put it up on my Instagram, like just on my
Luke Bradnam.
No, the story, the 20.
And, oh, yep.
And people have been going, like hitting me up with other people who have got like perfect names for the profession they're in, like ironic names. This guy's name. Give me a drum roll, Benny. He's a vasectomist, which I didn't even know existed, but he does vasectomies.
He ruins men's livelihoods.
And his name is Dr. Dick Beattie.
Oh.
That's his name.
Dr. Dick.
He's got a sign out the front of his place that says Dr. Dick Beattie, the vasectomist.
Well, he's smart, isn't he? Because his name's obviously Richard.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's a perfectly ironic name.
Yeah.
One of my mates was up the hospital and he goes, the only way it could have been better is if his last name was Skinner.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
But Beattie is pretty good considering what they're doing for the procedure.
Yeah.
We should open the phones, I reckon, if you've got one for us. Like, if I've heard of a few. Like, there's a few down. There's a Dr. Death down the Gold Coast, which I don't reckon would be good for business.
No.
But if you've got one for us, hit the phones if you know of an ironic sort of business name.
I know one.
What have you got?
My mum was friends with a bloke back in the day. His surname was Major, and he was in the army.
Oh.
And his rank was Major. He's Major.
Fair dinkum.
It would be like if Wayne Bennett's surname was not Bennett and it was like Kerr.
Oh, wow. Come on, Margo.
Not really, Margo. Why slip the boot in so early on a show?
Leave the Wayne
Bennett. It was the only one I could think of.
Margo, leave the Wayne Bennett boot slipping to Dobbo. He's going to do it later.
All right, give us a call. We want those ironic names. I'm sure there's plenty out there. Give us a buzz. We'll chat to you next on the Rush Hour. Luke, Dobbo and Margo Parker. Coming up before 4 o'clock, Dobbo will exclusively reveal who he thinks is going to be replacing Wayne Bennett at the Broncos next year.
Looking forward to that. There's a Dr. Dick Beattie, who is a vasectomist at the Greenslopes, just outside of Greenslopes. I just think it's the most ironic name of all time. But Lee's just given us a call. He's got one for us as well. What have you got, champion?
Hey, I was down Newcastle Way for a family misadventure, which is a story upon itself. There used to be a crematorium down there.
Yeah.
Run by two brothers, and their surname was Ash.
That's pretty good.
Someone out the front, Ash Brothers Crematorium.
Do you reckon they sit there and just like brainstormed an idea around what business they could go into as the Ash Brothers?
Look, either that or firefighters.
You know, this is what we've been dealt in life, the Ash. You know, look, either we take up competitive smoking or we get into this crematorium deal. Hey, thanks for your call, brother.
What do you got for us, Paul from Ipswich?
I had a reversal vasectomy at the St. Andrew's Hospital. There's a specialist there, a urologist, and he's a Chinese guy, and his actual name was Wee Wang Chang. I kid you not.
And he reverses that. His name's Wee Wang Chang.
Yeah, he's a urologist. He does all that type of stuff, and specialist he is.
I know another one of those guys. His name's Re-Range Wang that does the reversal. Hey, good on you, mate. Thank you.
Craig's called through from Eaton's Hill. What have you got for us?
G'day, people. There used to be a salon that offered services of tanning and waxing and Brazilians on Ipswich Road at Annerley.
Yeah.
And right next door to it was a dance studio called Smooth Latin Groove.
Dubbo, are you familiar with that one? The waxing and tanning place?
Island.
How many people went into the wrong joint?
Yeah.
And still came out with a smile on their face. Hey, thanks for your call, mate.
All right, now let's have another one. Rebecca from Eleonora. What have you got for us?
My mum, a few years back, had a carotid artery operated on. And then while she was under there, apparently they nicked a nerve in her neck. And then she found out later on that her doctor's name was Dr. Butcher.
You're kidding.
That's a classic. How do you plead, Dr. Butcher? Imagine that. Hey, thanks very much. You need to look into those sort of things before you go under the knife, I reckon. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. And can we just say a big good afternoon to Dr. Dick out there that's doing the vasectomies?
Mm. I'll see you shortly.
As you knock off and head home, this is the Rush Hour.
It's the Rush Hour as you head home, Luke Dobbo and Margo Parker. I'll tell you what, if you give us a call right now, I've got something for nothing for you. Double pass and a golf double pass to Siramay at siramay.com. Check it all out with award-winning wine, fine dining, tasting tours and a year-round calendar of entertainment.
Oh, cracking
You'll
joy.
Be amazed at what you discover at Siramay.
When he's not breaking hearts, this is breaking news. He's breaking news. More breaking news from Dobbo.
Well, Dobbo, in today's Courier Mail, there was an article by Peter Gleeson, who is only a small article, but he said that he understands Wayne Bennett will be in Europe next year coaching, and the next coach of the Brisbane Broncos will be Anthony Seibold
from South Sydney.
From South Sydney.
Who's still on contract for next year.
I love Peter Gleeson, but I like to get my rugby league information from the source, so we're going to you, Dobbo. What do you read into these comments from Gleeson this morning in the paper? Is he on the money? Or is he wide of the mark?
I think he's wide of the mark.
Where in Europe would he go?
Oh, I mean, there's a heap of England certainly could take him in a heartbeat. But look, there's no question Wayne Bennett, and I've said it here before, won't be the coach next year. But Wayne Bennett's circumstances are a lot different to when he was in the past. He co-parents a son by the name of Justin, who is disabled, and there's no way Wayne Bennett would leave his son anymore. He actually literally co-parents. So that alone would say that Wayne Bennett, I believe, definitely won't move overseas.
Because he is...
Exclusive.
He is the... That makes sense what you're saying, but he is the England Rugby League coach, but I guess he does that on a part-time basis.
Sure. He doesn't want
and
to move
he's
over
moved
there.
Away from his family before, but only within the country.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go overseas. Mm. And I don't think he'll have to. Is Anthony Seibold the coach? No, I don't believe he is.
Mm.
I think he's contracted. Look, would the Broncos offer him anything he wants? Yes. Kevin Walters, my belief, will be the next coach of the Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah,
exclusive.
No one said that yet.
Kevin Walters will be, in my opinion, the next coach of the Brisbane Broncos.
Exclusive.
I hope he is. Yeah. I think he deserves it.
There's a push on, mate. There's a push on, yeah.
So you're basing this in something other than your intuition. You're basing this on rumours that you've heard.
No, I'm just telling you. I'm not going to go into my sources.
I'm not asking you to give your sources, mate. What I'm saying.
He's very much in the framework.
Right. But so this is based on more than just your intuition. You believe it's not just a gut feel.
No, I believe there's a real push on in the right people with the right people. And this decision is above CEO. Let me just say this now. This is a News Limited decision. They own the Broncos, and it's the very top of the tree who'll be making the decisions on who's the next coach.
Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah. No, well, that, no.
Could
no.
James Murdoch?
Michael Miller will be the person
James
making
Murdoch?
The decision.
Well, Peter Gleeson might be the next.
Well, he's up the food chain, I can tell you now, but Michael Miller is the person making the decision.
Okay, so that's what we're hearing today is Gleeson's not right. He's not.
I don't think he is. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a speculation. No one knows other than the Boston News Limited exactly what's going to happen.
Will Wayne go to Penrith?
Well, he could. There's every chance. Mm. Wayne will keep on coaching.
They're looking for someone for 2 years and he's looking for a 2-year contract.
I think it's sad, you know. I really do.
Can I tell you what happened on our show on Friday that I thought would have made news and hasn't even made a ripple in the media was that Gordon Tallis, who holds some kind of position with the Gold Coast Titans, what's his capacity?
Ambassador.
He's an ambassador.
Oh, he's just an ambassador. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, he's best friends with the Frizzells as well, who currently own the club.
And Gordy came on our show and said, no way will Wayne Bennett be at the Gold Coast Titans.
Yeah, and
not interested.
And that's true. Mm. And Rebecca Frizzell came out on Saturday and said the same thing. And yeah, I'm with you. Like the fact that Gordy said that, I actually used a bit of that on Saturday, and I thought it would have gone everywhere, but no one picked up on it.
Hey, there you have it. Anyway, straight from the best in the business, the guy that breaks more yarns than anybody, Dobbo. Thank you for that. And Margo is up in arms. She's racing around the radio studio here, just yelling at stupid people. And we're like, who are you talking about? Well, you'll find out who she's on about coming up next.
That could be anyone.
You know what I'm sick of seeing in my news feed on my Facebook page is these bloody little Coles mini shop things.
Right.
I had no idea about them until the other day, until I got three of them. I'm like, what's this? And I got told, this is a huge craze.
It's massive. We've got a community page in our suburb, and it's just filled with people trying to trade off and swap these collectible things. Like, I've got a Vegemite. Do you have a Nutella? I've got, I don't know, a tea bag or sauce or something. I'm not quite sure. I don't get it. And then mums I speak to at school are whinging and complaining because they've got to swap and trade them for their kids.
Can
and
just,
I'm like...
Can you just hold on, Margo? You know I've got a cold at the moment. I just need to clear my throat. Get a life. Pardon me. Sorry. Continue.
They're, like, they're whinging about having to collect these things for their kids. And I'm like, just don't do it.
Mm.
I'm not doing it.
The kids probably don't give a toss as much as the parents.
No. Mm. And then now, they're, you've got to collect 30 or something. There's 30 in the set. Mm. You get one every time you spend $30. So you've got to spend $900 to get the set. So it doesn't make sense to me because then people are selling them on eBay for $200.
What do you mean? And I'm like, but you had to spend each shop item.
Every $30 you spend, you get one collectible.
You're going to buy
all
those groceries anyway.
So if you've got to collect 30 of them, you've got to spend $900, and then they sell them for like $200 eBay. What's the point?
Well, why don't we ask Ash from Mudjuba, because he's into it and he's just given us a call, which is a fantastic. Ash, how are you, mate? Sorry about
good guys.
Sorry about the guys giving these people a hard time. I'm right into it, mate. I think you guys are fantastic.
Ash, explain to me what the phenomenon is.
It's a whirlwind. It is a whirlwind. You sort of go, oh, that's a pretty stupid idea. But when you're at the shops and you're sort of like, oh, it'll only cost me $5 extra. I'll just go and get that packet of Tim Tams there just so I can get an extra little mini. The kids, you're right. It's funny enough. I thought, oh, the kids will love this. But they are sort of disinterested in about 2 minutes. But it's actually my wife who's just sort of, you know, the shopping lists end up getting a little bit longer just so we can get over that 30, then 60 mark, so we can get those extra bags and stuff.
I get all this, but if anybody was in my, and I'm a 76 drop, my mum used to put chip packets in the oven and shrivel them up and shrink them. This is the same thing. You don't need to go to the shop. Just get stuff after you eat it and put it in the oven and shrivel them up.
What are you selling them for, mate?
I think it's like the rarity. Well, I'll actually, here's the thing. We got down to it. We went to Robina Town Centre. They had a swap meet for them. And we were thinking, oh, there's going to be a couple of mums there. We'll just try and get our set completed because we're really pumped to get it finished. Like, again, the kids didn't really care, but we were pumped to get it finished. And there were hundreds upon hundreds of parents there.
People.
All lined up, swapping their gear. And it was almost to the point where if you couldn't see your stuff, you'd be walking past. And you'd see some lady or some dude that would have a little bag of his sort of doubles, and they'd have, there's a Nutella, and you'd be like, oh, and the three people would dive on that
person.
I'll give my first child, you know, to
What's the end game, though, Ash? Like, for you, mate, if we could give you a golden ticket here and you could get whatever you want, like, you'd obviously want the entire set, but then what?
Yep. Well, here's the clinger, and this is the sort of the sad reality at the end was that once we had it and everybody was crying for it and things, once we had the complete set, we were pumped. We got in the car and I looked at my wife and I said, well, what do we do now?
Oh, that's fantastic.
The first thing I did as I went, okay, I looked up how much are they worth? And someone had it, you know, they were having different items were on there for $15, $20 each. So I said, I'll chuck my whole set up there for 200.
Hang on, mate. We're going to give you $50. Well, hang on there right now.
Get you in the mood, Margo.
Yeah.
Live Pink. Oh, she's playing tonight. First of 30,000 shows at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre. She's staying here on the coast at the Sheraton Mirage, actually. Keep an eye out for her.
She's amazing.
19 songs she's going to do tonight. Mm. That's the concept.
She's unreal, mate.
This is the Rush Hour. Luke Dobbo and Margo Parker.
I had the funniest thing happen today. I was up at, I had to go up to Brisbane to see my old man. He's in hospital at the moment. So I get up to the hospital and it's just the old man and I.
And the old man starts up about, you know, this bloody nurse come in and then this nurse. And then he's like, and there was one nurse, mate, bloody good sort, right? Starts telling me a story, you know, he just said, there's some very attractive nurses here, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I say to my old man, I call him Bronco. I go, Bronco, did I ever tell you the story about when I had my shoulder reconstructed when I was 18? It was the first surgery I have had. Did I ever tell you my nurse story? And he goes, no. And I go, I can't believe I haven't told you this story. I go, what happened was, I'm 18, I had a shoulder recon at a hospital up in Brisbane, but for some reason, they chucked me into like a real geriatric hospital. Like it was full of old people.
Oh.
Like I was the second youngest guy there, would have been in his 80s, but I'm 18. And they had a heap of student nurses in the hospital.
So all the young, good-looking ones.
Well, whatever, you know, but they were all training. They were all actually doing their university degrees and stuff like that. I wasn't smart enough to go to university, but I was the same age as them.
Yeah.
And anyway, they were sort of coming in and hanging out with me just because I was someone their own age.
Yeah.
They didn't have to change your, you know.
Now, at this point of the story, okay, a nurse walks in, this male nurse. He walks in and he starts shuffling around Dad's room and I'm telling Dad the story and then I'm like, oh, jeez, it's a good story and I can't bloody, do I tell the story while old he's mate's fluttering about? He's likely to eavesdrop and then I went, oh, he's probably a professional. And so I lowered my voice and I started whispering the story to the old man and the nurse went about his business. He's cleaning the dustbin, he's checking the folder at the end of Dad's bed and I'm saying, and what happened, Dad, right? Was I going, these nurses came up to me and I'd never been in hospital before, so I'd never stayed overnight. I didn't know what was normal and what was abnormal, but they told me they had to give me a shower, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a true story.
Okay.
And Dad's going, yeah, right?
And?
I said, I go in the shower with two nurses, Dobbo. I'm naked. They put me on a chair. Now, I've had a shoulder reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And mind you, since this shoulder reconstruction, I've had four more. Nothing like this has ever happened before.
First and last for everything.
Nothing like this ever happened again. And Dad's like, just like going, yeah, well, what happened? I'm in the shower, Dad. I got two nurses soaping me up, right? Like washing me down.
Lucky day.
And I'm just like.
What were you feeling? Like, were you uncomfortable?
I was actually a touch scared because I didn't know how to react. I didn't know if this was normal or not. I'd never experienced anything like that before.
Vulnerable, exposed.
But at the same time, I was absolutely loving it. And I didn't know what was going to happen, if anything. But I, you know, it was just very, put it this way, nothing as exciting as that had happened in my life up until that point.
Just lapping it up.
Or since.
Or since. Good point, Benny.
Thank you.
Anyway, in the midst of all this, I then hear, Luke, where are you, love? Mum turns up.
Oh, no. Right?
Mum turns up, not only to, and I'm just like, shut up. Here's the shower, opens the door to the shower. Her son's sitting on a chair with two, they were dressed. And I'm just like, you're freaking joking me, right? So anyway, I tell Dad that story, right? The whole time I've been telling him that story, that guy, the nurse, had been sort of shuffling around, being all professional, right? Anyway, he stuffs around and does some other stuff, and then he comes back and he goes, Dad goes, what's the story, mate? Am I going to live or not? You know, he says to the nurse, and the nurse goes, yeah, mate, you're going to live. Yeah. Anyway, that's the story. It's not as good as his story, is it? Listen to the whole thing, Dom.
Of course he did.
I reckon every other room he just walked straight in, grabbed the dustbin and walked straight out with the housey hanging around polishing the floors.
Yeah, rat bag.
A shower, Gold 92.5, 1988, to answer your question.
Oh, that was 1988.
That's when it came out.
Well done, mate.
I think a lot of Gold Coasters are cheering for Matty Rogers at the moment in Survivor, and he's doing really well. Any of you guys watching Survivor at the moment?
Look, I watched the first two episodes, to be honest, and then I haven't had a chance to watch any since. But when I was watching, the competitors, not the champions, but the competitors were doing really well. The challenges.
If you're not watching, I'll tell you what's been funny with it. You know the commando from Biggest Loser? Sure.
Steve.
He just gets beaten time after time. Like, he's doing no good at all. But I reckon Matty, if I'd put a bet on it, I think Matty's going to be a real threat in Survivor. Mm. He seems to be going good. My mate last year was on the series, and he said that it sucked so badly that he actually went to the producers and said, can you boot me off?
Why?
Because it's so hard to film it. Like, you think that it might be just a TV show and they're putting things on. Barry, he said it's awful.
Like, they quite literally live in those conditions.
Absolutely live in those conditions. It's all 100% rigidig. And you know how it's usually you make alliances and you try to keep yourself on.
Play the game.
Barry went around to everyone and pleaded with them to vote him off.
Please vote me off.
He hated it that much.
He pleaded with them to vote him off. And the producers were like, you can't do that, Barry, because we're not going to have a storyline. And he's like, that's your problem.
That's not my fault.
And they did. They voted him off.
All right. Still to come before the end of the show.
Yeah, I'd like to make an apology to Luke.
To me, Dobbo?
Yeah, it's overdue.
Hang on a second. Oh, my God. We're in record mode.
Yeah. No. This is happening. Everyone's going to hear it at the same time we do.
Dobbo's apologising to me.
Yeah, over a statement that I thought he knew nothing about. He actually showed some insight and some knowledge.
All right.
Dobbo's admitting he was wrong.
And that Luke was right?
Okay. No.
Or knew something?
No. I'm just apologising.
Can I just say, the rest of the Gold Coast might not give a toss what you're going to talk about next, but I sure do. I can't wait. To find out what this is about.
We'll get to it next. It's the Rush Hour. The Rush Hour, Luke Dobbo and Margot Parker. It's the moment we've all been waiting for, Dobbo.
Well, the drought's gripping all of New South Wales and Queensland at the moment in rural centres. And Luke, you made a statement last week about how you really thought that there were people profiteering, people selling hay to be exact, were profiteering off drought-affected farmers. And to be honest with you, I jumped to the defence. I took offence. I told you were wrong.
He shut me down. I mean, it wasn't a stat that I went and collaborated myself. I just heard it on the news that night where they went that in the last week, hay prices have tripled. And I got angry at that statement because I went, that means it seems they're gouging the farm. Because as soon as it sort of came into the mainstream media, it appeared the hay prices tripled. Well, and that seemed wrong, like they were gouging the farmers.
The reason that hay has got dear is because it's a supply and demand and there's not a lot of supply left and the demand is high. So I understand that. But I'd like to apologise to you because after my own investigations, I found out that there is a protein source called cottonseed. And when you harvest cotton, you get a cottonseed, and it's fantastic feed for cattle, sheep, for livestock at all, because what it does, it's really high in protein. Now, there is so much of it at the moment because we've just had cotton harvest. It is everywhere. But the big cottonseed sellers have refused to sell it. If I asked you how much cottonseed's gone up a ton in the last 2 weeks, Margo, what would you say?
She wouldn't have an
idea. It's normally at $300
a
ton.
Give us a percentage.
Normally, 2 weeks ago, it was $300 a ton for cottonseed.
Maybe $380.
The price quoted today per ton, if you can get your hands on it, is $638 a ton.
So it's doubled.
$300 it has gone up off the back of. And there is literally millions of tons around.
Why are they not selling it? Because you said that they've had the best harvest and then they're not selling it.
These are privately owned companies, and I'm going to say them, like Louis Dreyfus, like Queensland Cotton, like these big international traders who are 100% profiteering.
So they're exploiting the
fact. They are exploiting the fact that it is dry. Sell it for $300. There's still money in it. No. They're all about making money. And you know who's suffering? The farmers.
Then the animals are suffering.
The animals.
Yeah. Hey, and are you telling me that you can eat cotton? That's what these animals...
Cotton seed. Seed. It's a protein source.
Could we as humans eat cotton seed?
No.
You can't just chow down on some shorts.
You're not livestock.
Mm.
Yeah, last time I looked.
That's a pretty good price though, isn't it? $300 for a ton of food.
Of cotton seed.
Yeah.
It goes a long way as well.
Because cotton seed would only be light.
Yeah, it is light. Well, a ton's a ton.
The only time where Dobbo's ever spent...
Hey,
the only time where Dobbo spends...
But there would be lots of it.
Can I get my funny out? The only time that Dobbo's ever spent $300 on a ton of food is when he goes to the Sheraton Mirage smorgasbord.
Yes. True.
I'm with him there.
And on that note, we need to go, and we'll be back tomorrow.
It wasn't much of an apology, by the way, Dobbo.
Sorry, Luke.
Right, I don't even know. Anyway, we're out of here. See you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Bye.
Another podcast done with Triple M's Rush Hour, and we think we got it right. For the tools you need to get the job done right the first time, Irwin Tools. Available at Bunnings Warehouse.